This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. I'm going to leap forward in time to November, to the deer hunt. Every fall, I always want to do a show about the dangers of lead ammunition and the reason to stop using it and switch over to copper ammunition. I always think of it when it's really too late to ask people to hunt down the best alternative, which is copper. So I'm doing it now to give people plenty of time to find their source and get it delivered or go pick some up. I'll have some sources for you later on in this broadcast and online in the archive podcasts of Natural Wonders on WDRT.org. Getting out in fall, finding a deer, killing it, dressing it, and getting it home, and getting it to the butcher or butchering it yourself should be as carefree as possible. You can't get as pure a source of meat as deer that have been running wild and free. Wonderful thing to do for your family. But if you hunt with lead ammunition, your meat can have tiny fragments of lead that you won't even notice. But lead is very, very toxic, especially to children and pregnant women. On average, lead fragments are found within 11 inches of the path of the lead bullet. They break up into sand-like particles and spread into the flesh. And they're also found as far as 18 inches from the path of the bullet. Get your tape measure out and see what 11 inches looks like, and that's average. It's a no-brainer to switch away from lead. I think most hunters think that if they cut away around the path of the bullet, that will solve their problems. But people have looked into it and examined carcasses, find it's very difficult to cut away all the lead from the meat that you want to consume. So why use lead to begin with when there are so many good alternatives? I want you to hear directly from someone who's been a hunter all his life since he was a little kid. He's a veterinarian, and he tells the story of how he discovered packages of venison in his own freezer. And after cutting away what he thought was plenty of flesh from around the path of the bullet, the venison packages from his own freezer, a few of them contained lead. So we'll hear an interview with Dr. Dave Clausen, a retired veterinarian, and Dr. Susan Davidson, who is a high-risk obstetrics physician, talking about the dangers of lead toxicity in venison from lead deer rifle ammunition. I'm going to run an interview from November of 2024. Environmental reporter Susan Bentz from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee's NPR brings us the story.
So I've come to ask for four things. One is that the DNR remove the ambiguous wording on their website and make it clear that lead is deleterious at any level.
Last month, the subject of lead in venison popped up at a meeting of the Wisconsin Natural Resources Board. It oversees the DNR. Dr. Susan Davidson brought up her worries about lead poisoning.
The issue I have come today concerns the DNR's poor communication regarding the dangers of eating venison obtained from deer shot with lead bullets.
Davidson specializes in high-risk obstetrics and is a member of the Wisconsin Environmental Health Network. She says lead is a potent neurotoxin that should be addressed at every source.
Lead exposure at any time in life, including in utero, causes lead to be stored in the bones. It has been found that progressively increasing maternal blood levels are associated with progressively decreasing IQ levels in their children.
Davidson said the DNR has failed to share that message. She read language that she found on the agency's website.
There is currently no known evidence linking human lead venison consumption to lead poisoning. So I've come to ask that the DNR remove the ambiguous wording on their website and make it clear that lead is deleterious at any level.
DNR Deputy Secretary Stephen Little had prepared a response.
First of all, Doctor, thank you for your comments and testifying or appearing this morning. There is unanimous agreement that a statement and content on the safety eating wild game in the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources related to lead and venison needs updating. to more closely reflect current public health recommendations, language, and needs to be updated as it relates to lead exposure. Recommendations are being developed on the advisory with the goal of revising language being prominently displayed on each agency's website in time for the 9-day gun deer season, if not sooner.
A DNR webpage formerly titled Safely Consuming Game now reads Safely Eating Venison. An agency spokesperson told WUWM the DNR collaborated with the Department of Health Services to craft its language. It reads, in part, although research has not linked lead in venison to human health effects, tests on processed venison suggest some samples may have levels of concern. David Clausen was instrumental in planting the seed, but wishes it were more robust. The retired veterinarian served on the Natural Resources Board from 2006 to 2013, including as its chair. Clausen had shared his concern about lead in venison at the board's meeting in August. He pointed to a 2008 study by the DNR and State Department of Health Services that showed the risk of exposure.
15% of commercially processed venison was contaminated with lead at a mean concentration of 15.9 parts per million.
Clausen is especially concerned about venison donated to food pantries. Nearly 4 million pounds have been donated between 2000 and 2023.
If 15% is contaminated, that's 585,000 pounds total, or more than 25,000 pounds a year of contaminated meat going into the diets of some already vulnerable people.
Clausen, who's an avid hunter, says he tested his own venison.
I process my own meat and I'm extremely careful about it. And so I took 20 packages of loins and steaks and roasts. They were no ground meat. It was all whole meat. And I x-rayed 20 packages in my office and was really surprised to find significant lead in three of those packages.
Clausen immediately got rid of his lead ammunition and switched to copper. At the state level, Clausen says agencies became proactive. For several years, the DNR held educational sessions around the state, encouraging people to make the switch, and the Department of Health Services.
They actually issued a letter to food pantries telling them not to distribute any venison unless they had it x-rayed by the local veterinarian.
Clausen says he's not sure why those initiatives vanished. Neighboring states take stronger stances, including Minnesota.
Minnesota x-rays every package of donated venison.
Clausen wants bolder action in Wisconsin. Banning lead, both in ammunition and fishing equipment, tops his list.
That is not going to be an immediate type of thing. That will take some work and some time.
Clausen says his work won't be done until state agencies deliver clear and consistent messages that any exposure to lead from any source poses a public health risk, especially to young children. Susan Bentz, 89.7, WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
That story came from environmental reporter Susan Bentz from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. You can find the story at WUWM.com, and I'll have a link on the WDRT.org website at my archived program under podcasts. And there's an article in Big River magazine. This is from Big River, September-October 2022. It's by Steve Gardner, The Shot That Kills Twice. And this is about the impact that lead fragments left on the landscape have on wildlife. After the deer hunter drags the gutted carcass away, a bald eagle spots the gut pile and swoops down for an easy meal. 4 days later, a passing motorist sees it staggering along the side of the road and reports it. Soon, raptor rescue workers arrive to capture and care for the sick bird. The eagle had no way of knowing that when the deer was shot, the lead slug hit a bone and exploded into fragments that lodged in the deer's muscles and organs. Some of those lead fragments became part of the eagle's lunch. In 2021, Minnesota gun hunters harvested 136,308 deer, while gun hunters in Wisconsin bagged 177,667, and gun and bow hunters in Iowa brought home 102,764. according to the departments of natural resources in each state. Add that to the thousands more that are shot and not retrieved, and you've got a lot of gut piles and carcasses that could be contaminated. It's also a lot of poisonous food for eagles and other scavengers. Quote, lead, a naturally occurring element with no functional role in a plant or animal system, is extremely toxic to birds, according to a recent report on the website of the Raptor Center, a division of the College of Veterinary Medicine at the University of Minnesota. Quote, the Raptor Center's medical clinic admits over 150 injured and ill bald eagles each year, with 85 to 90% showing some level of lead in their blood. On average, 25 to 30% of these eagles are documented to have lead toxicity. Most of these majestic birds die or are humanely euthanized to alleviate their extreme suffering, unquote. Research at the Raptor Center and other organizations shows that this lead poisoning is strongly correlated with deer hunting season, with many of the cases happening during or just after gun and rifle hunting seasons. Quote, eagles and other raptors are exposed to lead through ingestion of gut piles or unrecovered deer contaminated with spent ammunition, the Raptor Center reported. Each year in the upper Midwest alone, over 500,000 deer are harvested, with lead-based products being the most commonly used ammunition, unquote. Eating offal or meat contaminated with lead causes a variety of physical problems for eagles. External symptoms include lethargy, loss of muscle control, head and wing droop, inability to fly, and bile-stained diarrhea. And internal symptoms include gross lesions, atrophied internal organs, loss of fat reserves, distended gallbladder, and discolored gizzard lining, according to an article by Warner, Britton, Becker, and Coffey in the Journal of Fish and Wildlife Management, December 2014. Symptoms of lead poisoning may develop in just a few days or may occur over weeks or months, depending on the amount of lead consumed and the exposure duration. Quote, following ingestion, lead enters the bloodstream and is stored in the soft tissues, the liver and kidneys, and is eventually deposited in the bone, according to the Warner article. Lead concentrations in the bone can represent lifetime exposure, whereas concentrations in soft tissues usually indicate recent exposure, unquote. The problem comes from the tendency of lead bullets to fragment into small pieces and spread throughout the carcass. In a 2008 study conducted by Lou Cornicelli, big game coordinator at the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, measured from the wound channel outward and found that ballistic tip bullets broke into an average of 141 fragments and traveled an average maximum of 11 inches from the wound channel. Soft point bullets left an average of 86 fragments, up to 11 inches from the wound channel. In some instances, researchers found low levels of lead as far as 18 inches from the bullet hole. Quote, a key takeaway message from the study is that given fragments were found so far from the exit wound, routine trimming likely will not remove all of the fragments, and DNR cannot make a recommendation as to how far out trimming should occur, wrote Cornicelli. While rinsing tends to reduce lead around the wound channel, it also transports lead away from the wound. This explains why lead fragments often remain behind in the gut piles left on open ground. It also raises concern for the venison that hunters take home. Quote, some people picture this as they might bite a piece of meat and fracture their tooth on a piece of lead, but this is often small particles that you can't see, said Nicole Nieser, a veterinarian who serves as the director of the Dairy and Meat Inspection Division of the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. The Department of Agriculture works with the Venison Donation Program, an opportunity for hunters to donate venison to food banks throughout the state. The department x-rays every package of meat and rejects any that contain lead fragments. Quote, We know that lead bullets fragment, but that becomes even more of a problem when the meat is taken to a processor, because the problem could be perpetuated by the grinding of meat and the grinding of lead fragments, Neisser explained. We have data from 2007 showing about 6 to 10% of the meat that we x-ray contains lead fragments from the harvested deer, unquote. Neisser said that lead is a complicated public health issue because many of the effects are not immediately apparent, so people are less likely to connect them with consuming game. Quote, eagles have a shorter lifespan and receive more exposure because of their body weight, so we see toxicity earlier, she said. Humans are bigger. We consume less per body weight, but it can still be cumulative and have effects, particularly when immunocompromised individuals, pregnant women, young children, and the elderly, unquote. Research and testing in other states found varying levels of lead fragments in packages of venison. One study of 100 packages found lead in 60% of the packages. While there is no level of lead in a person's blood that is considered safe, there is also no direct evidence of a link between eating venison killed with a lead bullet and lead poisoning in a human. However, that would be a very difficult situation to document. With lead bullets identified as the main source of lead poisoning in eagles, it seems that the solution might be simple. Stop using them. Which is exactly what the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the Wildlife Society, the Raptor Center, and other concerned organizations recommend. There are alternatives, such as copper bullets, which tend to remain solid or fragment very little, but hunters commonly use lead ammunition to harvest deer due to its low cost, ballistic qualities, and capacity for producing humane kills, wrote the authors of the Warner article. The Raptor Center website states that there are many effective non-lead alternatives to lead-based ammunition, with more coming on the market every year. Replacing lead ammunition with a non-lead option is a responsible choice that eliminates exposure of eagles and other wildlife to a potent toxin. It also results in a safer food source for humans, as hunting with lead ammunition has been shown to result in venison for consumption being contaminated with lead, unquote. This article appeared in Big River Magazine. It's September-October 2022 issue. And look for BigRiverMagazine.com. Lead fragments show up on x-rays as bright white specks, and they're very easy to see. I've been talking to quite a few people about sourcing copper ammunition. And here's some good search words to start with. Best solid copper rifle ammunition. And there's a website, ammo.com. And on that site, you can do a successful search for copper ammunition. That's ammo.com. I also found Remington.com. sells copper ammunition. There's an organization called the Lead Free Partnership, leadfreepartnership.org. And from that website, it says, across the U.S. and beyond, sportsmen and women are making choices to manage the unintended impacts of lead from hunting ammunition entering the food chain, not because they're told to, but because they care. It's a movement rooted in values rather than mandates, and it's making a measurable difference for wildlife and our shared landscapes. And that's leadfreepartnership.org. I have a good friend who's been involved with diseases of wildlife for his entire career. We've been corresponding about this topic, and he wrote, eagle intoxication reports are seasonal, with dramatic peaks right after the deer season and in the spring after snow melts, exposing carcasses. And from the scientific literature, lead intoxication is the leading factor inhibiting eagle recovery. Highly pathogenic avian influenza overtook it briefly, but now it's back to lead. Lead intoxication in wildlife who consume lead in their environment is one of the very few wildlife disease issues that can be resolved. There is a solution, and it's not all that hard or expensive, but we actively choose not to embrace that solution. That's my friend in an email recently. This is an issue that can be very frustrating for people working with wildlife. People who use copper say it's got much better killing power. If these aren't convincing arguments, I don't know what are. And I've given you plenty of time to get that ammunition. And if you're thinking about hunting deer and you never have, start out with copper ammunition. You'll never have that problem to worry about. There's one more site I'd like you to look at. If you look at nothing else, look at this one. It's the University of Minnesota, the Raptor Center. raptor.umn.edu. You can Google the Raptor Center and you'll find it. If you go into the search part of this Raptor Center website and search for lead poisoning, you will see a page, TRC Research on Lead Poisoning. There's a beautiful film. It's like watching David Attenborough or the Nature Program. It's so well done. And in fact, one of our nationally recognized wildlife filmmakers who lives right here in Crawford County contributed a lot to this film called Let It Go, LEAD, Let It Go. I highly recommend that you look for the Peregrine Fund production, which is right here on the Raptor Center website, called Let It Go. You can watch it on YouTube as well. You'll be glad you did. It's a pleasure to watch. The Raptor Center website also has a very long list of suppliers of copper ammunition. So for sources, I've mentioned ammo.com, remington.com, leadfreepartnership.org. Lots of information there. I will have these sources listed with this podcast on the website, wdrt.org. This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. Thank you for listening.